Blog Talk Radio.
What up, everyone, and welcome to Friday Eve. This is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR, and we are ready to roll today. Cannot wait. Ready to get this show going. So much to talk about. Here we go again. All right, baseball, what are you doing now? What are you doing now? I'm going to try to explain it. I am. I promise you I am. The bubble in basketball and the contention between the factions. And who's being ridiculously quiet? We'll point that out. The NBA, like I said, who's being really quiet? We're going to point that out. The NFL, it suggests that they play in a bubble. I'm going to tell you why they can't. Either the show's going to go on or it's not. And I'm going to just say this. Mike Gundy is really in the middle of a real beat show right now. And the only way he's going to get out of it, I don't know. Can you really truly trust the guy with the mullet? We'll talk about all that in a second. This is the Cave Show, the PLR. This is PLR. And we are being brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. 4991 South Alma School, locally in Chandler. That's Alma School in Chandler Heights. Get down there and let them know that PLR sent you. They will take care of you 10% off your cigar purchase. Just let them know that I'm the one that told you to go there. Also, they do serve beer and wine, so you can have a very nice adult beverage at the same time. Become a club member, get a lock in the back, flip to the humidor. It gives you full and complete usage of the membership lounge. It's great back there. I myself have been a member for almost 10 years. Again, that's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. If for any reason you can't make it in there, go to their website. Their website is Stogie World. S-T-O-A-G-I-E world.com. Most items are shipped out same day. One of the best selections you're going to find. Again, get in there, Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Let them know PLR sent you, and they will take care of you 10% off your cigar purchase.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the Cave with PLR.
Like I said, welcome to Friday Eve. Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. In about 7 minutes, 6 minutes or so, we have the great one coming on, Ed Smith, Easy Sports Talk Radio. Played in the NFL, played Major League Baseball. I'm going to ask him for insight on this whole union thing. I'm going to talk about how you can't play football in a bubble. And no one wants to talk about it, but I'm going to keep saying it. For basketball, I'm going to call it the bubble of celibacy. Because ain't no one getting none when they in that bubble. Call in number 917-889-7828. Kerry Lackey, you're online. Do have a caller on hold. Thank you for holding the Cave Show with PLR.
Good afternoon, Paul.
What up, Lou? How are you, buddy?
All right. Well, just when you thought that we had something resolved with baseball, well, they did it again. Now the players are complaining 60 games just not enough. You know, the owners want to say they don't want a long season. The players want to say we're a short season. What are we doing here? Talking about baseball or Goldilocks and the Three Bears? It's too short. But they say it's too long. Oh, come on. I mean, really?
Well, I think the players are right. 60 games is not enough. It really isn't. The owners don't want to cover the freight for the 70 plus games, which is just a fact. So, but time is becoming of essence. And so I gave this analogy before. I'll give it again. If you're sitting at home with your significant other and you flip open a newspaper, I just showed you my age because no one flips open a newspaper anymore to look at start times of movies. But you see a 4 o'clock movie and a 6 o'clock movie and it's 3 o'clock. And you look and you go, what movie do you want to go to? The four or the six? And they go, I don't know. You go, okay. Then 3:30 rolls around. What movie do you want to go to? Now we're getting close. 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Yeah, I don't know. Let me see. 3:45. Last shot. 4 or 6. Yeah, I don't know. 4 o'clock. I guess we're going to 6 o'clock movie. That's what's going to happen to Major League Baseball. If they don't make a decision soon, the clock will make a decision for them. The owners are afraid to pay that money and have a second round of the coronavirus, or which I say, I don't know how they get to the second round, still the first round, have another explosion of coronavirus, not be able to get a World Series in, and lose out on their money. That's what the owners are afraid of. But you cannot take 162 schedule and chop it down to 60 games. If you do that, the Nationals wouldn't have even been the World Series winners last year. You have to have a semblance of a season to make it replicate a season. The only reason the NBA can pull this off with this whole bubble thing and make people happy a little bit is because they have played 65 games of an 82-game schedule, and they're going to play the other 5 games that they need to play to fulfill their contract, their television contract, before they get into the playoffs. If the NBA had played a week, they wouldn't do this because it wouldn't make sense. So baseball knows that. They're just being idiots again.
Well, that's true. But how many games do you think they need to play? Do they need like 75, 81, what?
They need to get as close to 81 as possible to make it a real season. If you're going to be around 70, 75, you're splitting hairs if you go, well, I just got to get 5 more. I understand that. But you can't drop all the way down to 50. That's 31 games fewer than a season. I mean, half of a regular season. That's asinine.
Right.
And even to do that, what you're basically saying, what the owners are basically saying is, we don't want to carry the freight financially. I would rather them just come out and say, look, here's the deal. Either we play 50 games or 60 games or the season's over. And I wish the players would come out and go, either work it out with us to get to 70 games minimum or we're done. And both sides just need to grow up and be real because this isn't working. They both look dumber and dumber. They're negotiating in the media. Look at the NHL, Lou. You're in you cover the NHL. The NHL said they have a plan. Okay. What's their plan, Lou? When do games start?
The way it looks now, they're saying it's going to be in July, mid to late July.
Okay, but there's no date, right?
No set date. No.
No set date. Okay. What cities are they playing in?
Well, they're still narrowing it down because they have, like they said, 10 hub locations. Well, soon you got to narrow that down.
Okay, so there's no set date. There's no set city. There's no anything to the public of how they're going to play. No one's talking about the NHL. Nobody.
But the camps have
there's
opened
nothing,
up.
But camps opened up, but there's no information about anything, which tells you they're still negotiating the details. They're doing it behind the scenes, and they're doing it quietly.
Yeah.
So they could be fighting, but no one knows. If you get into a fight with your sibling at your house, you don't want your neighbor to know. You don't want you don't want nosy neighbor Gladys spreading your business.
No.
So that's what baseball is doing. They're fighting. They're arguing. They're arguing in the middle of Macy's, and they should shut up. Argue at home. Argue in a piece of your own house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm really worried about the season.
Yeah, if there's going to be one.
If there's going to be one. And honestly, I miss baseball.
I think we all do.
I really do. It is honestly, out of all the sports I cover, baseball is the most relaxing sport to cover because there's so many different angles that you can go off on. In terms of writing, in terms of talking to people, there's so many different angles. But there's, I don't know. I don't even know what to say
unless
about
you're
it.
Unless you're a Pirates or a Rays fan. Oh, okay.
Wow. Ooh, even then, though, you can have an angle. I mean, the Diamondbacks, it's not like they go to the playoffs every year. I mean, they have had some recent success. Mm-hmm. But it's not like they go every year. But you still have things that you can talk about. There's still angles. And I think they're crapping the bed on this one.
Oh, yeah, that's a big crap on the bed, too. Oof.
Yep. But look, my friend, I got a job. I got my guest giving a call in. Hopefully I'll talk to you tomorrow so we can wrap this week up.
Is that Big Ed, you mean?
Big Ed.
Big Ed, tell him I said hello.
I will do. Thank you, Lou. Yeah, baseball is crap in the bed. I almost quoted a Sidney Poitier, Bill Cosby movie, but I'm going to get myself in trouble pretty soon. I got Ed Smith coming on in exactly 30 seconds.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The law office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the law office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Hey, this is Javon Carter with the Phoenix Suns, and I am in the cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. And I am, look, I got my man on now, my brother in crime. You know him. He played NFL, MLB, has one of the hottest talk shows on the air, Easy Sports Talk Radio. He's the man himself. Got to throw rose petals when he walks through the room. Ed Smith, what's up, bro?
What up, though, brother Paul? you always get me with the rose petals. Man, it's good to be on with you, man. It's been a minute.
it has. What's good with you, man? Everything good?
Everything's good, man. You know, getting back into the groove of things. We took a little bit of a break, you know, when the pandemic broke out, early part of it, you know, just got back on the air the last weekend of May, and, you know, we got three shows back under our belt, and we're going to, you know, continue to plug through this, man, but it was, you know, it's good to be back, it's good to be back on the air and talking sports, and, you know, hopefully we'll get to talk about some stuff on the field in comparison to all this stuff that's happening away from us.
As you have from playing Major League Baseball, you have more familiarity than anybody I know to talk about how baseball can mess things up. And the NBA, they're about to come back one way or the other. The NHL, they're coming back. We have boxing, we have UFC, we have golf, we have NASCAR, we have soccer, we have just about everything. How does baseball always end up just dropping the ball? How is that possible?
You know, I think it goes back, man, to just the whole nature of baseball. You mentioned some of the other sports, you know, they're team sports, and it's all about the team. It's all about, you know, in baseball, man, people forget baseball is a very it's a team sport, but it's also very individualized. You know, guys are separated by how good their day is and, you know, or how bad their day was, regardless of team success. And it kind of trickles down through just, you know, through ownership and just the whole nature of the game, and the players are a little more selfish. They think more about themselves, and it's all more about the money. It's less about the social activism. You know, you look at the other sports, man, and, you know, a lot of it, you know, especially basketball, they're really concerned about society, you know, want to press the issues. The baseball players, man, it's all about, they get in their little cocoon, and it's all about them, and it's kind of reflecting in these, the way they're both sides, and, you know, the owners are just as bad. They're negotiating in bad faith. It's all about the money. Both sides don't want to be, you know, deemed as getting steamrolled, so they're going to stand their ground. And like you mentioned all the time, they just cannot stay out of their own way. And it's just, like I said, it's one thing after another with baseball. And that's why, Paul, baseball was my first love more than anything else. That's why I went that route first. And since my dealings with the game, I've gotten away from it. Every year that goes by, I get further and further away from it. And I can't even tolerate the game or the players at this point anymore.
Yeah, and it's exciting. You know me. Look, I'm probably the first in line to get my credentials every year for the D-backs. And I go out there. I go to spring training. You know this. And I watch this, and I'm there, and I love it. I was just saying to the caller, I think it's probably one of the most fun games to cover in terms of angles, because there's so many angles you can take. And you just mentioned it. I go talk to a pitcher. I go talk to someone that's 3-for-3. I go so talk to someone that's 0-for-3 and ask them, are they pressing? You could find an angle. But the one thing that I'm looking at when I'm seeing this, I see owners who know that you can't play less than half the season. If you do, you have to come as close to 81 games as possible. Otherwise, the season is a fraud. You can't play 50 or 60 baseball games when the season is 162 games. And I honestly think it's a matter of, and I've talked to a couple people, that there's some small market owners that just don't want to carry the freight to play this year. They'd rather lose a little bit than play and lose all of that gate and all of the revenue that they'll have to then turn around and pay in salaries. I don't know if you've heard the same thing, but does that make sense?
It makes total sense, man. And the thing I hate the most is both sides are sitting there pointing a finger at the other like, well, and it's all about the propaganda, right? This side will leak something to make the other side look worse, and then vice versa on the other side. And then they keep throwing these, like you said, number of games out there. At this point, they're within probably 20 games of each other. But like you said, for a baseball season, you have to have a minimum of, I think, which would be ideal, the 82-game mark. I can't see why they can't come to grips on this and get it settled and then get everything moving forward. And, I feel bad for the public more than I do anybody else, because this is a time where, you know, we could use sports. I'm not necessarily sure how it's all going to work out, but we could definitely use some sports and some things to take our minds off of, you know, just, I guess, all the different things we're going through, whether it's the pandemic or the social unrest and stuff like that. And, like, once again, baseball shows themselves as the most, I guess, they have no, what's the word I'm looking for? No awareness at all.
No, I don't know how many baseball players, and I apologize, but I haven't heard anyone in the forefront of baseball even really talking about the social issues. I've heard teams give their statement that their PR people write up, but I haven't heard too many players step up and say anything. Have you heard anything?
Can I give you a main reason why, Brother Paul? The current African-American, I guess, population MLB is somewhere around 6% and some change, probably, you know. So to those that, you know, and obviously we've got a lot of Latin players and others and different things like that, but, you know, they predominantly focus on their own country. There's not a whole lot of representation within that league for them to even worry about it or make it an issue, if you ask me. And that to me is irreprehensible. I just, you know, we should all be fighting for the same thing regardless of color and stuff like that. But it's very evident where that league stands in terms of, fighting for a particular cause.
On the Cave Show with PLR here on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one only Ed Smith, veteran NFL, MLB, and like I said, the hottest sports talk radio in the Valley, Easy Sports Talk. So, Ed, I'm looking at the landscape of basketball, and they're about to go into this bubble, and there are some guys balking. And right now there's this big deal that's out with Kendrick Perkins. You know, KD called him a sellout. He said some stuff about Kendrick Perkins said some stuff about Kyrie Irving. And now there's a little bit of infighting. And I think everyone should kind of get along with this a little bit better. But I'm looking at people with valid points both ways. And I'm looking at there also might be some underlying reasons that people don't want to go in this bubble. And in all honesty, you know Johanna as well as I do. I've been telling her this since the beginning. You're asking grown men, married or single, whichever, to leave their significant others, if they have one, their kids, if they have them, or just their regular way of life, go lock themselves in Orlando without any outside visitation whatsoever until the first round of the playoffs start. So pretty much all of July, all of August, and a little bit of September. We, down in Phoenix, we had the pandemic. We were going crazy. Look, I love my wife and my kids. But I'm going to tell you, not having a relief, there were days where I was like, oh, my God, I just got to get in the car and drive around the block for a second. And it wasn't that they were even doing anything. It's just, and I'm sure they felt the same way, too. We're not built to be enclosed like that. And I'm surprised that more and more is coming out that players are having an issue with doing that, along with, like I said, like you said, the social injustices. Hey, would you, or could you, or would you want to stay in a bubble that long without being around any significant others at all?
I'd have a hard time with that, Paul. And you know, it's one thing to be away from your family, like you said, but to be locked in a situation where you're not even allowed to venture out, you know. Then the other thing is the danger of the virus. People keep forgetting. They think, you know, just because we opened everything back up, you know, that it's somewhat safe out there. But you see the numbers are going back up. More than anything, I would be more afraid of the virus itself than the seclusion, you know. And that's the part that people keep kind of just brushing over. Like, you know, if I had to, I could survive if, you know, I'm still playing and they said, hey, you know, we're going to put you here for a few weeks, couple months, whatever it is. I could do that. It would be a strain. But more than anything, the thing on the back of my mind would be the worrisome nature of, you know, this virus. And if one person gets it and we're all, you know, out there sweating and bumping each other and stuff like that on a basketball court, even though we're young, athletic men, it's, you know, this. And I go back to, Paul, I've been affected by the loss of my family. It's not a joke. And that's the part that I would have the biggest fear of, the seclusion. You know, we've all done portions of that before, not to this extent. But more than anything, man, that virus would still be scaring me in terms of me just running back out there and dealing with, you know, playing the game of basketball.
And everyone, no one wants to talk about this. I heard Joy Taylor say it. And I was thinking the same thing, and I picked up on it. Let me repeat one thing I said again. We're talking all of July, all of August, and a good part of September without having any outside visitors. So let me rephrase that. No one of a significant other can get in there. So this isn't just the basketball bubble. This is the celibate bubble. And guys, yeah. Should have a hard time. There are employees at the Disney studio, at the Disney facilities, that are going to be coming in and out. Do I need to even continue with this anymore?
No, sir. Hey, there will be some side pieces snuck in through the back door. So you know that. That's a long time to put a brother down on lock, you know.
I just don't see that. I really don't. I honestly believe, because you know the people that work at Disney, they're not going to be in that bubble all day. They're going to go home and come back. I guarantee you, some of them are single. I guarantee you, some of them volunteer to work some overtime. I guarantee you.
I got another piece for you too, man. You know they be sneaking in too, especially NBA players, the weed man. They got.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're not even going to test for that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, you know, they'd be trying to, yeah.
Yeah. The NBA has already said no one will be suspended or disciplined if they find any weed in their system. Now, if they find hard drugs or steroids, then that's a problem. But, oh, yeah, you can get high all day. That's not going to be an issue. But I think there's going to be some other issues. And I think that the social aspect is going to play a factor. I think there are guys, Ed, and you know this from playing, when you're under a guaranteed contract and you have a shot at making it to that playoffs, and there are guys that are going to come in, I'll use Dame Lillard, and I'm not saying that he said anything. I'm going to just use him as an example. If Portland is obviously eliminated from participating in the playoff part of it after three games, what's the incentive to keep him playing? What's his incentive to play, and what's his incentive to keep him playing? I think it's a farce.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I don't, you know, we all know, Paul, it's all about that dollar bill, and there's a reason why they got 22 teams in, and it just so happened to sneak Pelicans in the back door, right? It's all about that Zion effect, and you know, there are certain teams that don't have any reason to be there, and all that does is expose them for no reason at all. And then, like I said, it doesn't incentivize them at all. There would be no reason for them to go through with everything.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, one, the only, Ed Smith here on the K-Show with PLR. Jumping over to football, and I'm going to tie this to basketball and baseball. Ed, guys used to play with flu-like symptoms. How close are we to guys playing with Rona-like symptoms? Before they just say, you're playing, you're asymptomatic, we're not sending you down. How close are we to that? Hello, Ed. Did I lose you?
I'm back, man. I had a little glitch right there for a second.
Oh, no worries. I said I'm tying this to basketball, football, and baseball. Guys used to play with flu-like symptoms. How close are we to guys playing with Rona-like symptoms, where they say you're asymptomatic? You've already tested out. You're not going to get it. It's not going to treat you the same way. It's just going to live in your body. Nothing you can do about it. You got to play. How close are we to that?
Oh, man, that's a tough one, Paul. I mean, I was on teams, Brother Paul, where, you know, we were all forced to take a flu shot just because they didn't want, you know, everybody catching the flu, because it is an environment where it's like a petri dish, man. You got 53 dudes, you know, sweating up against each other, bleeding on each other, showering together in meeting rooms all day. So it's almost inevitable. If one catches it, somebody else is going to catch it. Now, we're talking about not a flu. You get a flu, and I had them before when I was down for a week. You know, you talk of the flu, most of the time is not, you're not even discussing death, you know. We're talking about a disease, man, that could take somebody out. And now, you know, you're talking about having guys out there, I don't know whether asymptomatic or symptomatic. There's going to be a lot of dudes that are not going to want to be in that environment if somebody is showing any type of symptoms. That's next level stuff, man. I don't know how you get past this either, because football is such a contact sport. So I'm really interested. I'm really curious to see how they're going to pull this off. And then what happens when one dude gets sick? Do you quarantine him? But who else has he been exposed to it? You know, so I might have no idea what the protocol is going to be when the first guy comes down. We've already seen Ezekiel Elliott, Dallas Cowboys, and Houston Texans come down with it. This might shake the game, man. I just don't know.
There are 13 players at the University of Texas that has tested positive. There are players at Houston that tested positive. There's University of Houston. There's players that have tested positive at Clemson. And football, more than any other sport, really does seem like, and you could talk to that mentality better than me, you know what? Yeah, we had it. We got it. We're playing football. Because that train just does not seem like it's going to stop. I mean, the NFL just does not strike me as going in a bubble or doing anything like that. First of all, you can't play football in a bubble anyway, which I heard Dr. Fauci play that. It's really one of those, you play or you don't. But Ed, football just basically is saying, we're outdoors, we don't care. I mean, are you getting a different signal than I am? But it seems like football is in, no matter what.
Yeah, you know, they are going about it, Paul, as business as usual. Nothing has changed. And, you know, that to me, it some seems a little, I guess, I'm not going to call it foolish, but, you know, I just wonder, man, you're putting a lot of men and people in general, because, you know, it's all the staff and everybody, putting a lot of people in peril if you're not going in with some type of backup plan. The last thing we want to see is a player catch this and not recover from it. I mean, that changes everything right now, because nobody's, you know, caught and died from it. Everybody feels like they're kind of invincible. But, man, that, you know, Rona's out there, like you said, man, and it's just waiting. It's waiting. And, I got a nephew playing in the league, and I'm just praying that they make some wise decisions. You know, I don't want anybody out there getting hurt. And I question Paul. I don't know what my stance would be. Say if I was toward the end of my career, and made a stack of paper and didn't necessarily need the game anymore, it might be time for me to check out a little early, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of people have mentioned. Players need their money. Just like everybody that wasn't working, they needed their money. They needed to go to work. And they're not going to sacrifice what they do, what they love for – they're going to risk reward. And I really think that that's going to happen. I think it's amazing, though, how football always – is the gladiator sport that's gonna they're gonna pound through this come hell or high water. Yesterday, locally, Kyler Murray made a statement, said that he would be one of the people kneeling for the national anthem to show solidarity. Second year player, second year quarterback in a real red state. Do you think it's something he should have announced, or do you think it's something he should have waited until he actually did it to talk about it, or do you think it makes a difference one way or the other?
I don't think it makes a difference one way or the other. You know, ask the question, you give an honest answer. I actually applaud him for being, excuse me, for being forthright enough to just say, hey, you know, yeah, this is what I plan on doing. With everything that's going on, Paul, you and I, we're both, you know, black men. We've seen enough in our lifetimes to know the injustices out there. And I'm proud of this generation that's, you know, stepping up. You know, I feel bad for the ones before them. You know, you run down the list, Colin Kaepernick, et cetera, that, you know, paid the price. But I applaud Kyler for coming out and saying it. And my thing is, anybody who don't like it, you know where you can kiss at this point in time. You know, it's more than about a flag and about a national anthem. I've stood through in my life, you know, think about this, Paul, through 15 years of professional sports, I've stood through thousands and thousands of national anthems, and none of them have meant a thing to me to a certain degree because, you know, like I said, I have love for this country, but at the same time, we have been through so much, and it's finally about time, you know, something happened, and it's just sad it took all this stuff to happen to finally get some type of, you know, like we're not going to stand for this anymore.
So I said it on the show earlier today that I was on. I think Roger Goodell is full of shit, and I'm just saying it the way I call it. I think he did a very cowardly thing when he said he would suggest to owners that they sign Colin Kaepernick. So that makes my mind work backwards. My mindset then 4 years ago, did you suggest to them to not sign him? And if you have that much power to stop him from being signed, do you have that much power to sign him? You're not a GM. You're not an owner. You're not a president of football operations. So what are you doing to help him get on a roster? And when you look at all these teams that are out there, you now start thinking of fit. And then I say, okay, well, he's not the only one. And I know I'm using a word that I'm glad I can't get beat. I think Pete Carroll's full of shit because he says he wish he would have signed him 3 years ago, yada, yada, yada. And when he was asked, you know, why don't you sign him now? And he says, well, we're set at quarterback. They got that bum that played for the Jets, Geno Smith, as a backup. Colin Kaepernick not playing football in 4 years is better than Geno Smith. So at this point, I'm really tired of people talking about it. I think the ship has sailed. I don't think he's ever going to play again. But I'm tired of all these people now all of a sudden pretending like they want him back when no one really is making an effort. And if you really wanted to make an effort, I would have preferred if Goodell would have said, look, you know what? 4 years ago, there was a climate where he wasn't signed, and I didn't do anything about it to try to help him get signed. Now I'm imploring our owners, hey, really take a serious look at him, and let's get this done, if at all possible. I would respect him more for saying that. Because the way he said it means that he must have said the opposite 4 years ago. So I think those are two people that the more they speak, the more full of crap they look. And I don't know if you thought about it that way, but that's what popped in my mind.
Well, the fact that he wouldn't even apologize personally, use Kaepernick's name, you know, like we're supposed to just assume, you know who I'm talking about. I don't want to say his name, but you know who I'm talking about. I mean, is a crock in itself, man. And just the fact that, you know, all this time later, now, like you said, everybody is Well, maybe we got that one wrong. Well, you think, and I'm, you know, it's just one of those situations, man. I haven't had respect for Goodell and a whole lot of people, for that matter, within the game of football, owners, anybody who wanted to pretend like, oh yeah, you know, we got love for Cap. Yeah, man, there were so many people out there so full of it, and I'm glad you pointed that out. And anybody who's talking about now retroactively, oh yeah, we would have or we could have done this or we should have done that. Like you said, they're all full of it, and they all need to be called out on it because it's just ridiculous, man.
Two more quick things, I'm going to let you go. So I'm going to set this question up like this. There's going to be a big rally in Tulsa. Fans are going to sign an agreement that says they won't come back and sue the president or the administration if they come up with the Rona. There are strip clubs now wide open, and I know doggone well there is no social distancing in the strip clubs, and they are packed. They are rolling in like downtown Scottsdale right now. Guys are trying to get their money away, of course, to help young ladies get through college, of course. So I understand. It's a good social thing they're trying to do. But if we got rallies, we got strip clubs, and we got bars, how much longer is it before sports starts to say, sign this agreement if you want to be a fan and come to a game? Part of the agreement is, if you catch Rona, you can't sue us for opening up our stands. How far are we away from that?
Man, they can try it, but I don't think it's ever going to happen. I don't know if that would fly through any court system or anything like that. You know, it's always, you know, do X, Y, Z at your own peril and your own risk. Like, you know, you go to a baseball game, you see the signs out there that, you know, say, you know, flying objects may come from, you know, all on the field, you know, so make sure you pay attention. What happens? Somebody get hit, Paul, and the first thing they want to do is sue the league, sue the stadium, sue the owners, everybody else like that. So what they come up with in that fashion, I don't think anything like that would ever stick long term. But, you know, it's something, like you said, it could be around the corner. I just don't see it sticking. And it's funny you bring up the strip club, man. I was hadn't been to one in a number of years, but I was up in my office the other day doing some work. I did happen to catch a little bit of that Players Club, and I watched that for a little bit. You know, old Dollar Bill talking about shit business. So yeah, no, that brought a little chuckle, bro.
Yeah, man. There's no social distancing in it. You can't pick up your money if you're 6 feet away. So you know, can't social distance there. And then the last thing I'm going to ask you about, I don't know how much you followed it, and I tweeted it out, and I feel like Eddie Murphy when he looked at old girl in the movie or looked at old dude in the movie, he said, "You have a foul mouth," because today I just feel like I have a foul mouth. But more and more every day, is Mike Gundy, the head coach of Oklahoma State, looking more and more like an asshole?
Bro, that dude is one of the biggest clowns, and it is an embarrassment. I repeat, an embarrassment that this fool is the head of the coach of a major university, mullet and all, and can say what he says, and nobody bats an eye. And then the nerve of everybody to question the players when they have a concern that the dude is leading them into the charge, when he can say what he wants, wear what he wants, and they end up questioning the kids. Like, who are they to you know, to look at his authority? And that right there is a reflection of our society, a reflection of college football, a reflection of so many things. That dude needs to be fired. I would never hire him again. I wouldn't hire that dude to coach my Pee Wee football team, man. But yet he's the head coach at Oklahoma State. So I couldn't say enough about that clown. That's ridiculous.
Alfred Williams, who nine-year NFL vet, said earlier today on another show that when he played at Colorado and Gundy was at Oklahoma State, that, you know, he called him the N-word, coming off the field. And he said, you know, I don't want him fired. I just want an apology. But if he wants to deny it, I got 20 people that'll back up this claim. I'm looking at this as a coaching record. You have to beat your rival generally to keep your job. And in college football, you can't lose to your rival every year. Jim Harbaugh wins 10 games every year, but they said if you don't beat Ohio State pretty soon, that's a wrap. Can't keep losing to your rival in college football. He's 2-12 against the Sooners. He doesn't win any big games ever, and he's coming out to be more and more of a clown, like you said, every single day. How is Oklahoma State continuously advocating for this man to keep his job there? Now, I don't know if he goes somewhere else, but to keep his job there. How do they keep justifying this?
Well, that might be a reflection on their school and their policy, even more than we think. And I would, if I'm a young African-American athlete and they come knocking on my door tomorrow, Paul, I mean, their offer to me would be about as worth worth as much to me as some of that Charmin paper that everybody has been needing, and hoarding and stuff like that. I couldn't so much as imagine ever, how can that dude walk into your mother and father's house? But, most of the kids have parents around our age. How could they walk into their house and, with his, I guess, shenanigans and background, stuff like that, and honestly think he could walk away garnering your the support of you to send your child there? I could never. I would never in my life.
I'm with you. And honestly, I think more athletes, especially those that really want to give a push, there's nothing wrong with HBCUs. I know that they don't get the television that Alabama and Florida State and Clemson get, but if they start getting five-star recruits in football, TVs follow money. So if they start getting them, TV will start going there. So maybe that's the way to go, and that's how you weed out the Gundys and all that. But, yeah, man, hey, listen, I know I kept you on longer than I said, but I appreciate the time, man. I'm glad to hear you back on. Batteries weren't right.
Bro, you never have to apologize about time, man. I enjoy hanging out with you, man. Love you, brother. And, we'll get through all this. And I appreciate all the support on the, from both angles, man. We get through all this stuff together, and that's the only way we're going to survive.
Hey, when are we going to go light one up? Oh, wait. I forgot. Cigar. When are we going to go light a cigar up? Let me clear that up. I got dreadlocks. I don't want people, dreadlocks. I better be clear about what I'm saying.
Hey, let's figure that out, man. I'd love to come down and smoke one with you.
Yeah, we got to get over to our mutual friend spot, Ron Harden over there at Maduro's, and bring some sanity to that place.
Absolutely, man. Let's do that soon, too, brother.
Good. Yo, little man is good?
Yeah, he's doing good, man, surviving all this, isolation and everything. And I know you got the boys, so he's, Quentin, he does it solo, but he's, I'm proud of him, man. He's making it through and, not driving daddy too crazy all at the same time.
Yeah, I don't have that because they're trying to put me in the poorhouse and put me in the crazy house all in the same day. Paul Jr. woke up one day last week and went from extra large kids to a small men's. So
yeah.
Had to go out and do a whole new wardrobe. And so, man. I'm wearing a pair of shorts with a hole on the side of it, and he got all new stuff. But I'm telling you, they put me in the poorhouse.
And before you know it, they're going to be grabbing the last piece of chicken off the plate, too.
Yeah, they're going to catch a fork in the hand. you're messing with the vittles now. You can't. I'm not having that nonsense. You get the assigned pieces, the assigned rooms. But like Chris Rock said, you touch that big piece of pork chop, we're going to fight up in the house. Just let me know now. So, yo, man, tell everyone how they can check out the show, the website, and the social media and all that stuff.
every Saturday, man. We're back on 1060 AM, and we do it live on Facebook as well, the Easy Sports Talk Show. You know, you can follow me on Twitter at Ed Smith Speaks. You can follow the show at the Easy Sports Talk. And like I said, man, we're glad to be back on, and, you know, eventually we'll get past all the, I guess, the necessary things we have to talk about and get back to more sports on the field. But, man, like I said, it's good to be back, and it's good to talk to you, Brother Paul.
Yo, man, listen, take care of the fam, bro. Love you, and I'm glad to catch up with you.
Sounds good, brother.
All right, now. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
The one, only Ed Smith. You know, it's funny because you meet people and you don't realize where the friendship level is going to go. And I met that brother about 8 years ago on another radio show that he was sitting in on and I was sitting in on. Hit it off and never looked back since. One of the most successful people you will know. He's an author. Like I said, played in the NFL, played Major League Baseball, incredible athlete, super intelligent, motivational speaker, has a talk show, sports talk show that hits every Saturday. So definitely check him out. That's my man, Ed Smith. Listen, let's step away for a second, and we'll come back, and we're going to wrap this bad boy up.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Like I tell you all the time, you can check me out. If you miss any part of the show on KSRN, 3 o'clock every single day, it's a repeat of the show. And there's so many ways to get the Cave Show with PLR. If you go to our website at sportscave.com, click on Listen Live, it'll give you a whole list of shows there as well. You go to our webpage, again, the Sports Cave, and there's some selected shows and interviews on the front page for you to check out. And I will be sending the tweet out later. I'm on Insight Sports as well every week. And so that podcast, I will have that out and tweet it out later as well. So listen, if I'm around doing sports, I will tell you how to find me. Make sure you're following us on social media at the Sports Cave. Cave is with the K on the Instagram, the Twitter, and the Facebook. Sportscave.com, the website. Again, Cave is with a K. Thank you to my brother Ed Smith for giving a call in. Thanks to the caller that called in as well. A good friend of the program, Lou. Listen, that loyal fan gives us a call just about every day that we're on air. You can get me on the Twitter directly, PLR on sports. Tomorrow is Friday, you guys. Tomorrow is Friday. So you know we're going to wrap it up. We're going to come at you big time tomorrow. Thank you for listening today on this Friday Eve. This has been The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Everyone, please be safe. Take care of each other. Do whatever you need to do to stay safe in this environment that we live in. Have a good Thursday. This is The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR.